Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Twenty-one minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. Mike, my man, how are you this afternoon?
Peachy, how about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. It's been a crazy week already. We're getting some news out of UNC. News yesterday, of course, with the press conference with Deion Sanders. I mean, it's a great day to be doing sports talk in the state of Colorado. There's always something to talk about now. Not always positive, but for the most part, still something to talk about.
Well, what's not positive to talk about?
Right now,
the Broncos, like to find the negative.
The Broncos.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's a bad one. The Nuggets have kind of been in a weird spot. That's kind of tough. Nathan McKinnon. So there's always something negative. You just got to look for it, man. Be the negative this holiday season.
You do that better than anybody.
I try to find the positives once in a while. You're positive. I bring you on. I'm always looking for you to come on and talk some positivity with me.
I'm your balance.
You are my balance. Okay, Mike, an interesting game coming up, not just because it's CSU-CU, but do you think primetime's going to be there on hand Thursday night, 7 o'clock, December 8th?
I doubt it, just because I know they're excited to announce him in like a public kind of forum. But right now, I think with it being the height of recruiting season, with signing day being the 21st, that's got to be his first priority. He's still kind of double dipping right now.
Yeah.
He's got to take care of basically two football programs. So I doubt it. I would think it's going to happen at some point in time, probably at a Pac-12 game that they host, a conference game. That would be my guess.
What's your take on all this, Mike? From your perspective, looking at what just happened, you know, Deion Sanders, I think, set everything up, you know, turned everything upside down. Heck, we left the Broncos game at 1:30 to go watch this dude's press conference. That's what's going on in this state right now. Bad for the Broncos, great for the Buffs. But from your standpoint, Colorado State, there's a lot of optimism surrounding Jay Norvell and what they're doing. But then when you take a look at a move like this, what is it doing to you? What's your thought process through all this?
Doing to me personally?
Yeah,
what I think or what it's doing for CSU?
What it's doing for the state, but also what it's doing for CSU. Both.
Let's start with CSU. It affects this university not at all. We're going to play them once a year. It's not like you have middle of the road fans in the state of Colorado that are like, I'll go one way or the other. They're either CU fans or they're CSU fans. So it's not like Deion being hired, we're going to lose 10% of our fan base. This is just not going to happen.
No.
So it's not going to affect us. I think they'll recruit. I'm sure they'll go head-to-head on a couple of players in Colorado, and we'll see how that does. But outside of that, it doesn't affect anything for that. Now, I've found a lot of things interesting about this. The fact that Rick George came out and just admitted they do not have the money to hire him right now, but they'll get it. Which I thought was a wow kind of admission on his part. I think it's been impressive, the people he's gone after on his coaching staff. So in terms of creating some excitement for college football in the state of Colorado, I think it's good overall. I've seen some, you know, backlash on, you know, like his initial, you know, statement to the players, you know, like basically all jumped into the portal. That was just public. I mean, that happens everywhere. The fact that some of the recruits that they'd already had committed aren't going to be honored and they're finding other places, that happens everywhere. That happened here when Jay Norvell was hired because guys that Adazio had recruited did not fit the mold of what Norvell and his staff wanted. So to me, it's one of those things. When I was a reporter, I hated recruiting. I know how important it is to the lifeblood of a program, but the overhype of it early on from June until signing day, the first one now in December and then on into February, you get guys, I think, that are, and some of them are trying to get attention. Hey, I've made my commitment. This is here. It's look at me. I've got this out the window. if I'm a high school player now, especially with the transfer portal, especially knowing that coaches are going to get hired and fired at the end of December, you might have your top three. You might even have in your mind where you're going to go, and you can tell the staff that. But I don't know that I would want to announce it publicly anymore until all these things happen because, yeah, you got some guys who are really excited about going to play at CU, but they might not be players that fit into, you know, Deion's system. And I can't blame him for that. I mean, it used to be the polite thing to do for coaches, and Mike Bobo did it when he got hired here, is to just honor the commitments that were already made. And I know in talking to Mike Bobo, some of those commitments he hired, they did not fit, and within a couple of years they were leaving anyway. So that just kind of puts you behind the eight ball. These coaches are here to win. They're getting paid to win. Their livelihood depends on whether or not they win, so you want your players. So it's just become more public. Now, if these six, eight kids from CU that committed early hadn't committed early, just kept it in their back pocket, nobody knows. And it's probably better for them. So that, at least that's my take on it.
Yeah, no, and I think that I wonder if that's something that might change, you know, because I'm with you. I mean, you certainly went into this a heck of a lot more than I did, but you know, you'd see guys that come, you know, letter of intent or committed or whatever, and that doesn't always, that's not always the end all be all. I was reading something the other day about one of the stud athletes in Colorado had committed to Oregon, but if he said if Deion Sanders comes to CU, he would think about. So it's just a weird dynamic, and then now we're all right here. You know, Deion Sanders is going to have, he's going to have the cameras right in front of every move he makes. I mean, we're going to be following this along closer than maybe ever before. It's something, Mike, that sure seems like it's going to turn college football upside down, for better or for worse.
He's just a different personality. He could very well be the biggest personality in college coaching right now. And now he's at a Power Five school. He was drawing a lot of attention to the SWAC just from him being there and what he was doing. Now, he's got to be able to prove that he's going to be able to coach in the Pac-12 as opposed to just the SWAC. And getting some of those great players, how big of a dent is that going to make in building a program in the Pac-12? I would caution CU fans, he can go ahead and get an impressive recruiting class right now, but they're going to be freshmen, and some of them are going to be transfers. And putting that all together, you're 1-11. You're a program coming off a 1-11 year. The schedule's pretty tight. I don't know. If they're expecting 10 wins next year, I think their hopes are too grand. I think people at CSU got kind of swayed into that too. Very excited about the different offensive style and what Jay Norvell was bringing. And they found out close up and first, it's gonna take some time for those changes to actually melt and for them to get the roster that they want. And that very well could happen in Boulder. I'm not saying that it won't be successful, but I don't know that you're looking at a 10-win season, like right off the bat. If he does it, wow, you know, more credit to him.
Yeah, and that's what's insane to me because, you know, I'm looking up north with you guys, Mike, and I see Jay Norvell, and, you know, it wasn't the season a lot of people at the beginning thought necessarily, but as the season progressed, we all said, and I've been saying this too, talking about positive, that, hey, I think this is going to get going eventually for Colorado State. Deion enters Boulder, and it's like we expect things to change tomorrow. Like, we expect to beat TCU and, you know, be in the conversation of playoffs. And that's interesting. And that's just where we are now. The transfer portal has been crazy, but now more than ever, I mean, I'm looking at all these numbers and names of guys in the transfer portal. It just changes the entire landscape of expectations and everything going forward.
I did, but you got to remember, you got to get the right kids too. And I think I saw a number today where I think 13% of college football players are in the portal right now, which just seems absurd to me.
Wow.
And it's only 2 days in, and it's probably not done. But, you know, the new transfer rules, if you bring a kid in, you know, you're committed to him. So, you know, if CU signs somebody and they decide Coach Prime isn't for me and football isn't for me and I just want to get my engineering degree here, that still counts as a scholarship against him, even though the guy's not on your roster for as long as he's on campus. So there's some new rules in the transfer portal that, at least with transfers, you're going to have to be a little bit more careful. But the cool thing for CU about this hire is there is excitement around that program all of a sudden that hasn't been there for a long time. And I think that's really what they were trying to accomplish down there. Their think tank was like, we've got to create some excitement around this program, and this was a huge splash.
Mike Brohar joining us from CSURams.com. And Mike, again, don't you look at this, and I've said this to Rams fans, like, I get it, you hate CU, they're terrible, they're the enemy, but if they're good and you're good, then it makes the Rocky Mountain Showdown or whatever new name, whatever we're going to give this thing, it makes it that much better. I remember 4 or 5 years ago seeing, you know, was it Barstool or some national publication saying the who cares game or whatever. And it really bothered me. And if you can get both teams with juice, and Jay Norvell has that, Deion Sanders certainly has that, then I think that this game could really help to start growing football in Colorado. And who knows, maybe this isn't just a Broncos state anymore. We're talking about it being a college football state.
Yeah, you're a few decades away of both CU and CSU being good and playing on an annual basis, and that game driving huge numbers.
Sure.
And it not being dominated by one side or the other, for that to start, it won't start, but to really elevate tremendously the high school game in the state of Colorado and the interest of college football in the state of Colorado. The Broncos have a huge stronghold on this state and even this region. You can take that out to Nebraska. You can take that out to, Wyoming, parts, you know, Utah, right? I mean, this is a Bronco region. So both programs need to be good for a sustainable amount of time for that really to start, you know, feeding into the collegiate level. That being said, I still find it interesting. I mean, you look at it, CU and CSU are still basically battling Nebraska for the fan base. I mean, George came out and said, one of the first things he said was, okay, our first home game is against Nebraska. I don't want to see any red. Don't sell your tickets. And what was the first thing you saw on social media? Nebraska fans flooding it with pictures of Folsom Field and it looking entirely red.
Mm.
They have that kind of sway still, especially – on the western or the eastern side of the state of Colorado. It's still a Husker stronghold, despite the struggles that program's had. So, CU and CSU are still battling Nebraska for the fan base.
Yeah, no question about it. It's just so interesting, all this stuff with Deion, with the transfer portal being this way. I mean, it's just crazy at this stage. But we'll see what ultimately what this does to college sports and as we progress through the next few years. Mike Brohar joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, a heck of a battle on Saturday between UNC and CSU. Heck of a battle before that earlier in the week between UNC and CSU. Now the Rams looking to see if they can take down the Buffs on Thursday. And the Buffs are an interesting team. I don't think anybody has them figured out at this point.
No, I mean, I don't even know if Tad Boyle has them figured out at this point.
Yeah.
They've shown up in some big games, and they've decided not to show up in some games. And, CSU's lamenting the fact that they did not play well defensively against UNC. Both teams are, really, the men and the women. They just did not put in the defensive effort that they needed. You go back to the start. I mean, it's a three-point game at halftime, and CSU's not playing great defense. But if they come out and play some defense, you figure they're in it. Well, then UNC comes out and hits their first seven threes, and not all of them were easy. And some of them were kind of deep. And all of a sudden, that three-point lead's 15 points. And now all of a sudden, CSU's playing catch-up the rest of the game. And for, I would say, I don't know, about an 8-10 minute stretch, they played defense the way they should have, got back in the game, actually got the lead. But, Kuntz had, I thought it was interesting down the stretch when the game was being decided. I thought Jalen Lake played him pretty well defensively. Kuntz hit a couple really tough shots, one of them an end one, and that kind of created the separation. So, credit to UNC for really hitting the plays that they needed to when they needed to. But it's a learning experience for Colorado State. They've got to be on defensively and have that defense translate into offense for them to be really successful the way they want to be this year.
Yeah, and in that game, too, I mean, I actually sat next to Jerry Schimmel. I was doing some color for that game, Mike, if you can believe that Jerry let me get on with him. And we looked at each other, and I said, this feels exactly like last year. You know, UNC was up, it was a shock, but here comes Isaiah Stevens doing his thing. And, I mean, he was in the zone. He had some amazing takes to the rim. But ultimately, yeah, the Bears hit their free throws. But, Mike, you look at it and say, okay, Isaiah just got back. You know, the LMU game was nice. And then to see what he did against UNC at the end, you got to think that Isaiah Stevens, though, every single game is just going to get a little more comfortable in that with that foot and feel a little bit better, and he's going to really start taking over.
He is. And you can't deny that that's going to happen. I mean, he's one of the top point guards in the country, and the more that he gets acclimated to playing with this team the way it is, and he did. I just talked to him, and I think a story just came out. He took his time when he was seven games on the bench watching what his teammates were doing, watching that what John Tonje had done to elevate his game, watching what Isaiah Rivera had done to elevate his game, watching what a Patrick Cartier brings to the floor. Mm. And his only thought is, I don't have to do that. I just have to make their life easier. So that's what he's watching as the point guard. And he is. He's going on the court to learn that even more, what he can do to make their life easier, to get them better shots, to get Jalen Lake open on the outside and get his stroke going. So, yeah, those things are going to happen, I think, over the course of the next couple of weeks. And that's what they want. They want to be at their peak when they go into the Mountain West Conference, and they want to go ahead and be at their best at that point and have things going. And I think that this his return when he came back gives them ample time to get that I guess, polish, that feel going on that roster.
I'm looking forward to that game on Thursday. Mike, always appreciate you, you know, bringing in some, you know, some sunshine to the program, some positivity once in a while. We need it, my man.
Well, yeah, I feel bad for your listeners at times because it just seems like it's negative news all the time.
There's some positive stuff. I mean, there's certainly some positive
things. UNC's got a new football coach, right?
UNC's got a new football coach, Ed Lamb. And yep. I mean, listen, it's the Ed McCaffrey thing was a splash. It was a nice marketing thing. It got some publicity. I think the Bears really needed to make sure they made the sound football decision. And on paper, it looks like that's the sound football decision.
They got a head coach that's been a special teams coordinator. So he knows that part of the game will not be ignored.
Special teams is a big deal, Mike. You should know that. You should know that very well. Special teams is a big deal.
I think people around Colorado State understand the importance of special teams play and a devotion to making it good.
Yeah, like maybe putting someone in charge of it. You know what I mean? It's just it's an amazing, it's a wild concept. But
it's just like the Wild West here now.
No, it really is. It really is, my friend. Well, it'll be a Wild West or whatever with this transfer portal. We'll continue to monitor it and see what it looks like. A lot of numbers, though. My goodness. Mike, always appreciate you, man, and what you do for Colorado State. And we'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Angel, I don't think I'm that negative. I just think when I bring Mike on, there's negatives to talk about. It's not like the football team won a lot of games, so I brought up the negatives of those losses, right? And then CSU basketball, they've been pretty positive for the most part. That's not a bad loss to UNC. That's not a bad loss.
It's hard to say.
I mean, they're going to view that as a bad loss.
I've seen some CSU reaction.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
they're pissed.
I cannot believe we lost that game.
But they don't follow the Bears like you and I do. We know that's a good basketball team. On their best night, UNC can beat some good teams. They're not going to beat Houston and Baylor, but on their best nights, I could see them knock off a 25 team. Maybe on their best night.
Sure.
They score 88 points in a game. Yeah, they could do that.
I think they're only getting better, too.
I do. I think they are getting better. All right, we'll take a quick break. 12:39 the time. Let's talk about the Denver Nuggets. Are we concerned? Are we looking at a panic button? Are we looking at it, kind of? We're glancing at it? Are we thinking about it, Angel? We'll talk about it next. Let's get the latest on the Local Sports Flash.